Please stand. We are doing the divine service. It starts on page 203 in the front part of your hymnal if you would like to follow it there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God presides in the great assembly.
He is judgment among the gods.
How long will you defend the unjust?
And show partiality to the wicked.
Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless.
Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed.
Rescue the weak and needy.
Deliver them.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, grant that in the midst of our failures and weaknesses, we may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent comes from Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. You saw the sufferings of our forefathers in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people in his land, for you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground, but you hurled their pursuers into the depth, like a stone into mighty waters. By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them the light on the way they were to take. He came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. He gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. He made known to them your holy Sabbath, and gave them commands, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. But they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked, and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen, and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked, and in their rebellion, appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt," or when they committed awful blasphemies. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of the cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave them your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle comes from Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel is recorded in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. We join in professing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father. worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated, and at this time, if the children would come forward. Good morning. How are you doing this morning? Good. Hey, I think I know what you talked about in your Sunday school class today, but does anybody know what the word compassion means? Sort of? Okay. To show mercy? Okay.
To help others and be sorry for them.
To help others and be sorry for them? Okay. That's pretty good. All right, let me ask you this. Yes. To suffer with them? Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had compassion on anyone? Why did you have compassion on them? What did you see? Okay, you felt sorry for them. Why did you feel sorry for them? Okay. Okay, if someone gets hurt, and you probably maybe see this at school, maybe on the playground or in class sometimes, someone in gym, okay, someone might fall and get hurt, and what do you do? Do you just stand off and watch and look, or what are we? You go and help them, and you what? Did you say pray? Yeah, you certainly can. You can go help them. You can pray for them that they get better if they were hurt. Have any of you ever seen someone just kind of sitting off to themselves, by themselves? Do you feel bad when you see that? Do you go over and talk to them if you see that? Sometimes? Yeah, well, that's good. That's called compassion. A lot of times we can see those things and we just think, okay, well, they're crying, don't know why, and we may not even go do anything, may not go talk to them or anything. But compassion really is more than just a feeling. It's something that we do then about it. We go check on someone. We go help them when they're hurting. And so, did you know that God calls us as Christians to do that? And Jesus did that for us, right? He had compassion on us. And he didn't just stay up in heaven and feel sorry for us. What did he do? He came down here, right? And died for us. And so, compassion, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We've already talked about it. You have in your Sunday school class. We've talked about it in our adult class. We're going to talk about it some more in here this morning. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the compassion that you have for us. Help us to see people when they are hurting and have that same compassion. Help us to share your love with our family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you that we're able to be here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ, unified by your blood. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we turn to your word. And Lord, as we've been looking at some of these core Christian beliefs and what your word has to say for us in the Bible, we pray that you would open our hearts today, that you would soften them and help us to know these beliefs and not only know, but to act on them. Lord, I pray that you would just block out a few of the distractions that we might have in our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned to the Bible class this morning that when we first started this series, and the first core belief is that I believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I thought, how much more complicated can you get than to start with that belief? Because it's something that we can't explain. I mean, it's something you can't prove. It's something we believe by faith. And as we've gone through some of these core beliefs, I thought the same thing. I mean, there are actually some things, though, that I can really say, check mark. I believe that. I believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God. I believe that he's a personal God and he's involved in my life. I believe that the Bible is the true word of God. I believe that the church is a place where Christians gather and that God uses the church to bring this message of Jesus to the world. I can say that's right on. But I have to say, last week on humanity and this week on compassion, my toes feel crushed. I mean, I feel like I can take my socks off and they'd be black and blue. Because while I can say I believe that God really cares about humanity and that he sees everyone the same way, when I ask myself, do I have to think, well, maybe not. And so today, as we get into this core belief on compassion, how does God see us, and where is his compassion, and where is ours? If we think about the key belief for today, I'd like for that to be brought up on the screen. I'm doing this a little quicker today, but the key belief, I believe God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. I want you to say that with me right quick. I believe God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. I want you to notice that it doesn't say that God calls all Christians to show compassion to the people who are like them, or to the people who think the way I think, or to show compassion to the people that I think deserve it, or the ones that kind of agree with my way of thinking, or the ones I can show compassion to the ones that aren't maybe in my mind abusing a system. It says God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. We see this a little bit, that Jesus tries to demonstrate this in a parable that he tells. There was an expert in the law that, it was our gospel reading, an expert in the law that comes to Jesus, and he's asking this question. Of course, we're told in the text too that they're trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus knows this, but he approaches him and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I love Jesus. I mean, I really do love him too, but I love the way he approaches things sometimes, because he says, well, how do you read it? What do you think? You see, he turns it back on this expert in the law. And so it probably catches the expert of the law a little bit off guard, but he thinks and he says, oh, yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to say this was an exciting moment for Jesus. If you're a teacher or you've ever been involved with trying to show someone or tell someone how to do something and they've struggled with it and they finally get it, you're excited, right? They finally get it. And you may even walk around proud. That's my student. That's the one I told how to do that. And I want to say, in some sense, that's what Jesus is experiencing here. Man, this guy gets it finally. But then he opens his mouth again and says, well, who is my neighbor? Because Jesus tells him, you got it right. But the man says, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells the parable about the man that's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls in the hands of robbers, and he's stripped, he's beaten, everything's taken from him, and he's left half dead. You can use your imagination on what that means. But he's laying there on the side of the road, and three people come by. There's a priest that comes by. And what does the priest do? He crosses over to the other side of the road and passes by. And the same thing for a Levite, who, by the way, is another religious person, passes by on the other side of the road. Now, we're not told exactly what went through their minds, but I wonder, as they saw that man laying there half dead, if they thought, oh, he doesn't look like one of mine, so I'm just going to walk on by. Or, you know, he's probably one of those outcasts anyway, maybe someone who's abusing the system, so he doesn't deserve to be helped anyway, so I'm just going to go on by him. We're not told. But the two are not moved. Or maybe they're thinking, man, I've got to get down. I've got to get to where I'm going to take care of my business. We're not told. But they just simply pass on by. And we're not told in the text, but just really with no regard, no concern whatsoever with this man who's laying there half dead. But a Samaritan comes by, who is, by the way, not looked at very well by the Jews. They didn't have a good relationship at all. But this Samaritan comes up and he sees the man, and we're told that he has pity on him, and he stops. He bandages his wounds. He pours oil on them. He places him on his own donkey, and he takes him into an inn where he takes care of him that night. And the next day, he even tells the innkeeper, continue to take care of this guy, and when I come back, if there's any more expenses, I'll take care of it. And Jesus looks at this expert in the law and says, okay, who was the neighbor to this man? And the expert of the law, I think, finally gets the point too. He says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus' simple words were, go and do likewise. You know, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, I can certainly see someone on the side of the road with a flat. I thought about the kids at school, and we talked about that a little bit with them. They can see someone sitting under that tree at recess by themselves alone, and they're crying. I can see that person as I walk into a McDonald's sitting there by the door holding a sign that says, I'm hungry. I can see a family who is hurting and devastated with the sudden loss of a loved one. I can see a family who's just totally shocked and doesn't even know what to do because they've been told the devastating news, you have a terminal illness. I can see all of that. We can see all of that around us. We can feel it. We can say, I hurt for them. But compassion is action. A married couple by the name of Saul and Pilar Cruz, they started a mission in Mexico City. And they decided to plant a church, start a church right at the edge of a garbage dump. where the poverty-stricken people would come to and dig through the trash just to probably find food to eat, maybe some useful things that they can use for their everyday life. But Saul even admitted that I just can't connect with these people. And the people had a hard time trusting them, you know, putting their faith in them. Until one Sunday morning, they were in the middle of a worship service, and somebody comes running frantically into their church and presents a problem. The sewage line had burst, and it was running down the street, and it was even beginning to threaten some homes in the area, or maybe some little shelters that people had put up to protect themselves from. And so Saul gets his congregation together, and even some of the onlookers, that he brings them all together, and he gets a local engineer involved with the process, and they begin to fill sandbags. 15 hours later, about 3 a.m, they finally get this sewage leak stopped. Saul and his congregants, they, and probably even some of those onlookers that helped, they go back to their church muddy, filled with stench, covered with sewage. And they go into the church and drop down on their knees and pray. And it was at that moment that those people began to see Saul and Pilar, they're real. They're here for us. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Didn't He leave the perfect, clean place of heaven and come into our filthy, sewage-filled lives of sin to bring us forgiveness in life? And now, we're called to action. We're called to step into people's lives. You know, as I think about that list, when I see that person on the side of the road, compassion is to stop and say, "Do you need some help?" and help them change that flat. You know, on the playground, as you're sitting there and you see that little girl or boy who's off by themselves crying, and go up and sit with them. Talk with them. When I walk into that McDonald's and see that man holding that sign, "I'm hungry," instead of thinking, "Well, he's just trying to get money," go in and buy a meal, sit down beside him and listen to his story. When that family is devastated because of that lost one, go sit with them. If nothing else, just cry with them. When that family gets that news of a terminal illness, we talked about this in Bible class. Maybe the thing is not necessarily just to go give them a meal, but go sit with them. Hold their hand. Get in their mud of their life and feel their pain with them. That's compassion. It goes beyond a feeling and becomes an action, where we get dirty with the people's lives. We feel their pain. We sit with them. We hurt with them. That's what we as Christians are called to do. The key point, one more time, let's say it together. I believe God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. In the Bible verse for today, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. God does not call us to make the judgment call as to whether or not someone is needy. He calls us to help. And I pray that that's what we here at St. John are about in our community. That's what we as individuals are about as we live our lives in this world, that we have been called to a life of compassion. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand for our prayers. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for your compassion that you have for us. How you came into our filthy world and, Lord, to live among us, to know what we experienced, and to die and forgive us and promise us eternal life. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of those who are sick and facing the challenges and struggles of this world. Lord, we lift up all of those who are struggling with cancer, with the effects of that, especially Wanda Hubbard, Betty Odom, Andrew Kaufman. Lord, we just ask that you would touch them with your hand, reassure them of your presence in their life, and that you are with them and walking with them through all of this. Lord, we also continue to lift up Cecilia Jensen with her broken wrist. As she has surgery tomorrow, we ask that you would bring healing to her body, that it will be a successful surgery. Lord, we pray for Frances Schrunk, who fell over the weekend and broke her hip. Lord, she's had surgery, and we ask now for a speedy and full recovery for her as well. And Lord, for Alice Jeske, who fell last night and broke her arm above the elbow, Lord, we ask that you would bring healing to that. Lord, we also lift up Steve Almquist, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Lord, we place all of these people into your care, and those that we name in our hearts and those we have listed in our bulletin, we pray that you'd bring healing to their bodies according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we lift up the family of Ida Sommerfeld, who was called to her heavenly home. Lord, surround this family with the assurance of the eternal life that we have in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up all of our missionaries, local and abroad, that you would give them strength as they proclaim the good news of your Savior to the ends of the earth. Lord, we also lift up a church plant that is taking place in the greater area of Fort Hood with Grace Colleen and St. Paul the Grove, as we have also dedicated some funds to be used for this as well. We ask that your work will be accomplished in this area, and Lord, that we can be used in this way to help as this church plant starts. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we do pray for rain. Lord, we ask that you would send rain to just refresh the ground and the plants that need it. Lord, we trust in your timing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And Lord, we pray that as we prepare to come to your table this morning, that we come in a worthy manner, that we discern the true body and blood of your Son for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we leave our sins at the foot of the cross, trusting in the gift of salvation that you give us through your Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray all of these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, the Lord, and ever will full away, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Yeah, we will sing the Agnus Dei. I guess I didn't notice it. That wasn't in there.
Thank you.
now may this true body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith, the life everlasting. Depart in peace and joyfully serve the Lord. Amen.
Joyfully serve the Lord.
us and joyfully serve the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing for our closing hymn.